This is David Wolper, and it is the 16th of August, 2002. I'm in Henderson, Kentucky, with Mr. Donald Banks. Mr. Banks, would you just kind of introduce yourself, tell us when you were born, where you're from, a little bit about your background.
I'm Donald Banks, and I was born here in Henderson, Kentucky. Born March 5th, 1947. I always had a keen interest in history.
And especially genealogy.
And I went to school at Henderson City High. I went to trade school and wound up as an industrial electrician. And basically I have a few hobbies that I like, mostly computers, dealing with computers, and history, that's about it.
Where did you attend school as a young child?
I went to elementary school at Albert Street School. Attended it up until I could, sixth grade. Left there and attended it in Barrett Junior High, which was integrated at that time. Up until my sixth grade, it was all segregated school system. And from there, I went to City High, and then after City High, I went to trade school.
And what year did you graduate from Henderson City High School?
I went there 1965.
That's when you graduated, mm-hmm. Class of 65?
Class of 65.
All right, let's talk a little bit about the Alvey Street School. I think I'm pronouncing that right.
Alvis.
Alvis, mm-hmm. Okay. That's A-L-V-E-S. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just can you be... kind of describe the building itself, maybe?
The building was sort of like a three-story building. And it wasn't anything fancy. It was a pretty good-sized building, and it went from the first grade to the sixth grade. Later, they added on a seventh grade and an eighth grade, but when I went there, it was a first through the sixth grade. And well, I had a real good time there. I mean, that's all I knew, school there. They had a playground for young kids in the basement, in it, and we used to get out on the rascal and play in there. Had a lot of fond memories at that place.
Were there additional black schools, black elementary schools in the city system at the time?
Not at that time. Now, there was years ago, there used to be other black schools, the training school, what they call a training school. And up around the north end of Henderson, there was a black school too. But this is a long time before my time. And by the time I started going to school, all these schools were dissolved. Basically, when I started going to school, it was only Albert Street and Douglas for its black school.
Do any of these school buildings still exist today?
Not today. Douglas was the last school tore down. They tore Albert Street down. I'm not going to try to say what year they tore that down, but it was the first one to be tore down. And then Douglas was tore down in the 60s. And in its place right now, they have a... well, it's a place for men, the homeless men. They just built a new building on that spot. Like the sad loss of losing it. This is a historical type building.
Was there any dispute in town about that building coming down?
It was. It was a lot of people voiced opposition for that building coming down. The only thing saved about that building now is that there's a community center, John F. Kennedy Community Center. Douglas used to have in concrete its name up over the doors. They saved it, and then at the John F. Kennedy Center, they encased it in brick and saved that portion of that school. And I myself know where there are bricks that was bought. The guy used it to build a brick fence, so I know those bricks came from Douglas.
I see.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit more about the Alvis Street School. You know, what kind of quality was the, you know, what kind of condition was the building in? Would you call that a quality school for its time?
Well, compared to, well, let's say Central School, because both of those schools are just about the same age. But the money wasn't put into Alvin Street School as it had been put into Central. They received the old books. When Central School were done with their books, and instead of discarding them or throwing away, Al Street got them. So we always dealt with used books, books that was behind. And the school wasn't run down. It was a very sound building, but everything was secondhand, you know.
Did you know that at the time as a child? Were you aware of that?
Not until I got to the age that I could understand what was going on.
When do you think that happened?
That was on the later years, probably when I got to junior high or something. I could look back and I could tell what went on. That same as Douglas, I could tell that what they got was secondhand books and shop equipment and stuff like that. Machines was all secondhand.
When that became a reality for you, how did you feel about that?
It didn't make me angry, because you know those people took what they had and done the best that they could do with it. By the time I never did go to Douglas, but I lived across the street from Douglas all my life, just about. And obviously they had band and football and that's all I knew, you know. But as you get older, you begin to realize the difference between what this school had and that school had, because I had an opportunity to play in Douglas and go through Douglas, but never had an opportunity to go to school there. But I went to school at Bear, so I could see the difference what Bear had or what City had or what Douglas had. See, a lot of difference, you know. Mm-hmm.
How about your teachers? Do you remember your teachers at Alva Street?
I remember every one of them. Every one of them.
Why is that?
I got a lot of them. They were good teachers. They took the time to teach you. And each one of them knew your parents personally. They knew them by name. And it wasn't something that they would just associate with it. If I'd done something in school that day, then they had punishment for it. They gave you a whipping back in that day, which is illegal now. And they give you one there and then tell your parents, and you got one you got on. But wasn't no, not like today. They were parents, of course, and the teacher, whether or not they were right or wrong in punishing you. If that teacher punished you, then as far as they're concerned, you do another one.
Right. Yeah. Were the teachers there, did they hold degrees at this time? This is in the late 50s, early 60s we're talking about.
Every one of those teachers been to college, had been to college. Most of them had been to Kentucky State. That's where they obtained their degrees.
Were the teachers from Henderson originally and had come back, or did some of them come in from out of town?
Annette C. Brown was from Henderson, and always have been from Henderson, and come from a family that was all educated people, and made sure their dad made sure that the whole family was educated. If you read the book, this book here, Angels and Scandals, it talks about Annette C. Brown and her father and her grandfather, how they were educated type people. And you may have, I don't know how many movies you watched, but there's an actor, I'm trying to call his name now, but he was Annette C. Brown's nephew, still acting today. I'll call his name in a minute. I should have brought that up until I actually had his name.
That's okay.
I'll grasp it in here in a minute. But all those people were very educated type people. That's Annette C. Brown, and you had the early sisters. They all graduated. You know, my first grade teacher was Miss Hodges, and then you had another first grade teacher was Miss Cowbell. A second grade teacher was another early sister. Third grade teacher was an Eldris, and then you moved on up there to the fourth grade level, and then you had Miss they always say she's so mean, but she wasn't.
Right, right.
Miss Waters was her name. She's in the fourth grade. Miss Hill taught the fifth, and so on. You know, that just but almost just about wrapping. Miss Annette Brown taught the sixth, and the other assistant taught the sixth, and that wrapped up Allen Street School teaching. Principal, Mr. Houston. We always called him Mr. Houston. And I never could remember that man's first name, but we all called him Mr. Houston. He was principal there. I remember those people, you know. You don't forget them because they made a mark in your life, you know. And then we went on over to high school. I knew all the teachers, just about all the teachers at Douglas, even though I had not attended Douglas, you know, because I live right across the street. And Hill's a small town, everybody knows everybody. Yeah.
You're speaking quite a bit about Miss Annette Brown.
Born in a house.
Is that right?
That's right. Well,
does she have quite a reputation here in town?
Yes, she has. She was a port. That lady had writing that appeared in school books. But she never did protect her writing, and people used it, you know. Gleeman Journal, she wrote for them for years and years and years, they thought quite a bit about her. She's an avid writer, and she was a type of individual that all she nature stuff. She liked nature stuff. She could name this weed, that weed, and she enjoyed teaching children about it. You know, I can remember being in a class, and one of the things she really liked to do was about once every two or three weeks, she'd take a whole class outside, just outside the building, and teach them about the different plants and stuff. And then later on in the year, she wrote about nature stuff with the Gleanum for years and years. You can go down here to the library and pick up paper, I say anywhere back in the 80s and on back, and you'll see her picture and her writings. There was a book published once that book may have been 35, 40 pages, a portrait, stuff she wrote. They acknowledged that it was her writing, but they didn't have to give her a damn for it.
Right. So. When you were attending Alva Street School, did you really, it sounded like you learned later what kinds of materials the white schools had compared to to the black schools, but did you know what the inside of a white school looked like?
Not until I went to Barrett.
But this is Barrett Junior High.
Barrett Junior High.
Uh-huh.
And see, when by the time I never did attend the old Barrett, I had attended them. They had tore the old Barrett down and built a new Barrett. I was one of the first students that went through that school.
Well, explain for me, if you can, you know, when they built the new Barrett Junior High, was there an intention of integrating it once it was built, or did it just kind of happen at that point? Was there any connection there?
By that time, you know, all the schools, Henderson Central had been integrated for years by that time, and so had City High. But there was always that gap in the seventh, eighth grade, that's as far as they went. It's the period that blacks pretty much have stayed over. And once they reached that level, kids got a little grown, usually stayed right in there. And then they went to high school from Alva Street or something like that. But they, as far as attending the old Barracks, I never remember any blacks attending after they built the new one, and then they started moving in there.
Okay. What was it like when you went into Barrett Junior High? This is your first experience. Do you remember your first day at an integrated school?
Yes.
What was that day like?
You know what, believe it or not, it's just like normal school. You got people around here. It wasn't like Sturgis, Kentucky. And Sturgis is only about 40 miles. You may have read about Sturgis, Kentucky. That made national news. Sturgis is about half the size of Henderson. And when they went to integrate, I believe they bought out state police, national guards, and everything else. But Henderson wasn't like it. It was more of a, it was smooth. Once the bill was passed, those was brave enough to enter a predominantly white school went. Wasn't a police standing, no guard over it, nothing. It just went, you know. Mm-hmm. And that was about it. You know?
It sounds like that first day was very smooth for you, but did you anticipate that, you know, before that day was over? Or maybe before you actually got there?
Well, see, by the time I got there, guys like Charles Thomas and them that already had been to Central was my age. They had gotten there too, so, you know, for me it's just being around Charles and Skip, like our Wim Pointer, we always call him Skip, you know. See how they handled it, wasn't a problem with me.
Did they already have connections with white kids? You know, were they already kind of friendly with some white kids?
Well, yeah, see, they never did go to black schools.
At all?
Only about a couple of years.
I see.
Yeah.
So that helped. They were kind of a bridge for you, I guess.
Right. See, they was one of the first four. You showed me the paper 1956, but the only thing I can remember is back there I was thinking, around far as I can remember, it was Charles and them. I can remember that just as well because it was a big deal about sending to this school.
Well, what did Charles, your friends, and William Porter?
Porter.
Oh yeah. Do you remember their first experiences? You know, did they ever speak of any particular details of attending the new white school when?
No, because you know, children are a lot different from adults, and they don't know no better. When you put them in an environment with other children, they don't know nothing about being discriminated against. That's taught. That's not something that inherently, just because you one race and another race, you inherently inherit being a bigot or something. Mm-hmm. That's something that's taught. Well, you can take several kids and put them in this room today, and if you don't teach them anything about one's different from the other, they'll continue their play together. Well, this is basically the way Charles and them was. Of course, you had kids know the difference, but they fit right on in there and played playing football and everything else at that school and blended right on in, you know. Never was nothing that would, where the parents were standing outside with sticks and hollering and police out there because something didn't happen or some adult didn't come there or something. That never did happen here, but it did in Sturgis, you know.
Were you involved in extracurricular activities, sports or music or anything like that?
Well, I played football, run track, stuff when I was coming up. Stuff like that.
How do you think that had any, like, for example, when you were at Barrett Junior High or at City High, mm-hmm. do you think that had any kind of impact on the relationship between black and white students?
Well, we played together back in. And we had friends, white friends, and black friends had white friends had black friends back there. No, you got to what I'm trying to say about Henderson is it's an unusual place. Other towns had blacks would live on this side of town and whites, but blacks and whites always lived all over Henderson. I mean, back during years back, it wasn't something that happened here in the later years. In the north, we had blacks living around on Main Street, on the north end, the east end, the south end, whereas other towns, blacks were maybe being concentrated in one general area of a city. So we was already set in an environment where we always did mingle with one another, play with one another, but we never did go to movies with one another and stuff like that. See, that was out. Restaurants and stuff like that, they didn't know.
So even though the town wasn't segregated geographically, it sounds like, or not severely segregated, but there was still some segregation in the public accommodations in town.
There definitely was in public accommodations. You know, your 5 and 10 dime stores, your movies, just stuff you take for granted today was segregated. You
know? Where did black shop in town?
Oh, they went to the 5 and dime, You shopped there, but you didn't belly up to get a Coke care or something like that, you know. You went to the local grocery stores, they didn't mind taking money, but you know, for socializing and sitting down and having a meal or something like that, no.
It was not an option here.
That wasn't an option here, not until. And it didn't take too much to break it up either. A few sit-ins at Kim's Corner and places like that, and it was over. Mail, you know.
Was there a business district here in town?
There was a number of business districts here, all downtown here. And in fact, in my book, I list several businesses that was here, doctors and dentists and barber shops, grocery stores, drug stores, and stuff like that was here at that time.
Let's talk a little bit about your high school days. You graduated from Henderson City High School, and you weren't one of the very first to integrate it, but it was still fairly early in the era. How did teachers receive, how do you, either for yourself or maybe your older friends, how do you think the white teachers at the Henderson High School received the black kids?
Let's see. Well, they wasn't all that over enthused about having black kids there. But it was, even then, it was subtle stuff. You know, you could tell it, you know. You had some teachers there that I remember were very good teachers, and you had some of them there, you know how they felt about you, you know. And I don't call their names.
Sure. You know. And how did you, I kind of understand what you're saying, yeah. But how did you know how they felt about you?
Just back in, they wasn't sneaky about it. I mean, they'll pretty much let you know, and they're in their own way, you know. Nowadays, they'll be a little more subtle about things, you know. But back then, they could do things, get away with it. You know. That was then.
Uh-huh.
You
know. Do you think on the whole the faculty welcomed the idea of integrating here in Henderson?
I would say if you based Henderson against other cities, you know, I'm gonna stay right here in this general area. Now I'm talking about Sturgis, for instance. Louisville had a lot more trouble in desegregating their school system than we had. They had a lot more rougher time. In fact, I think it was up around 1956 when Martin Luther King went there and marched on Louisville there. And the only time he's gonna get there is if something draws his attention to get there. Lowell was a little bit rougher. Henderson was more smooth. Mm-hmm. I mean, they more, when the law was passed, they seemed to went on and complied with it. If, now, they didn't go out and advertise for blacks to go to that school. And they didn't encourage you to go to that school, but the door was open if you wanted to come.
So there was a choice for the blacks. You could continue to attend the previously all-black school,
right,
which remained black, I'm guessing. Did any black school like Alvis or Douglas, did they ever take in any whites at those buildings?
That school never did have a white in it. No.
And
as long as Douglas and Alvis Street existed, they didn't go out and encourage blacks to leave that school, leave Alvis Street. In fact, Alvis Street would probably still be there a lot longer, and Douglas would still have been there a lot longer if the numbers hadn't declined so rapidly in that school. It got down to, it was just very few people even going to either one of them, so economically, it cost too much to operate the school, so they just shut them down.
And that's when the true that's when the larger numbers of integrated students came to be here.
Right, because they didn't have no other choice. At that time, it wasn't but two high schools, it was County High and City High. And you had 7th Street, you had on elementary school, you had Central, 7th Street, and those were the two main elementary schools. So you either went there, or when that school shut down, they all divided up. Those on the north end went to 7th Street. They used to, those on the north end, walk from out there to Alvis Street School. You know, but it didn't matter how cold it was or how whether it was raining or what, they didn't have no buses go out there.
Right. Well, I've got a question for you. Why did you, you had the option as a child to attend Central or 7th Street, which mm-hmm. wasn't too far from your home, mm-hmm. right? But you went ahead and still attended the Alvis Street School. Now, why did that happen?
That's got a lot to do with your parents.
Sure.
See, I couldn't make that decision. Now, I had friends over. The only thing I know, I had Charles and Will Porter and all. It was my buddies. And I would like to go to school I grew up with and played with. And I'd go over there, but now Mom and Dad had a different story about whether or not they were still hesitant about whether or not to go over there, you know.
Why do you think they were hesitant about sending you to the white school?
Well, they grew up in a different time, in a different era. They were treated a lot different than what I was treated. The same as I was treated a lot different than what my children were treated, and my children have no idea about segregated systems or being discriminated. Now you can set my boy down here now, and I mean outright discriminate against him. He don't have no idea what you just done to him, you know, because he didn't grow up in that time. You probably call him names I wouldn't even take, and because that old rap music, you know, got all those names in it. That man, that was fighting words when I was coming up.
Sure.
And now they listen to it, and it's just a different in time. It's different in time for my mother and my father as it was for me. It was strictly. My father was born in 1922. My mother was born in 21, so they come up during the time when it wasn't uncommon to hear about hanging. You know, it wasn't uncommon if you downtown somewhere and got out of line, they thought you got out of line somewhere, and the police just come and beat the tar out of you, throw you in jail. And you were there, and if he killed you, you just dead. That won't happen today without an investigation. They could get away with it back in the days. 20s and the 30s. The 30s was a notorious year, so, you know. But I didn't grow up during that time. I grew up in a time where I guess you might say that I've seen both ends of it. I've seen total segregation, and I've seen the times when it was over with, when I was allowed to go to schools, I was allowed to go in the movies, I was allowed to go anywhere I wanted to. But I grew up also at a time that I wasn't allowed to. So I see both. Now my sons and my daughters never seen that time. They have no, they probably couldn't tell you the history of Martin Luther King, you know, or what he done. If I asked them today, they might tell me a little bit because of Black History Week, but to really know what he stood for, they probably not even interested, you know.
Why do you think that is?
It's just the way they grew up, you know. They grew up in a time that, my son didn't grow up in a time where he couldn't go. Now, when I grew up, you couldn't go over here on the east end of town. You knew how far to go, you know. You're going to get brick or rock. Well, same token, when the white kid, they knew how far they could go on this end of the town, see. But you always had that dividing land. And I grew up during that time, but they never did. My kid don't know nothing about that kind of stuff. There ain't nothing that we didn't teach him, either, that kind of stuff. And for that, we try to teach him not to make a difference in color. You can't go through life and in this world and living in your own little sector. You know, you're going to have to live amongst a diversified race. People, if you're going to get along in this world.
Mr. Banks, do you feel, and this is a retrospective opinion, I'm sure, but do you think that attending school in an integrated setting benefited your education?
Yes. Being in an integrated setting, you know, at work, let's take it for instance, at work, you can point people out that grew up in a town that wasn't around an integrated area. In fact, we had three, four years ago, we had a lot of trouble with the South Junior High School system fights between blacks and whites.
This was how long ago? A
few years ago, 3 or 4 or 5 years ago. We had a lot of trouble with fights going on over there. And I talked to a superintendent out there one time, and I said, you know what the problem is out there? At South Junior High. See, at that school right there, you started starving a lot of students that come from rural areas. And they always had schools in rural areas. There never was around integrated sector or black kids or anything. And when they hit these schools, some feel they can say what they want to say, like they're out there in the county. And next thing you know, these kids up here in town, there's a fight right there. And I told her, so I said, what you need to do is before these kids come to these schools, you need to set them down and I don't know how to put this, but teach them about an integrated what they're going to be going through. It's going to be totally different from the all-white school that they just come from. You know, you're going to be getting into sections where these little young kids say something to them, the next thing you know, it's on. You say the wrong thing, it's on, you know. And they seem to get a grasp on that, but there for a while, they were having a lot of trouble over fights. And it's always dealing with people from rural areas. The into kids that lived up around in here most of the time.
And you attribute that with growing up in a strictly white community, not having any interaction with other kids that might be black.
And you just cannot operate in this anywhere with being sheltered. If you've been sheltered from certain things all your life, then all of a sudden thrown in that mix with it, you can't cope, you know. And something's going to happen if you don't adjust. A city kid, a little kid living in town, a totally different kid coming up out of county, see.
Mm-hmm.
They think different, they play different, they act different, you know. And finally, I guess they got a grasp on it, you know. But there, for a while, they had a little rugged, they was a little rugged over there for a while.
Whatever happened to Alvis Street School?
They finally tore that school down. Over there now, they put houses on the lot. I got a picture of Alvis Street School. I can sit here and see it right now. What it looked like, a lot of fun.
Do you know do you know when it ceased to operate, and do you know when it was torn down?
Alvis Street School, I cannot say when it ceased to operate. It was at least, I'd say it was 2 or 3 years before Douglas closed down, that Alvis ceased to operate then.
Probably early 60s, would you say?
Douglas closed down in 65. That was the last year. And I'd say in the early 60s, Alvis Street School ceased to. And it stood there for a long time until kids, I guess, started, you know, with vacant buildings and started breaking out windows. And the city decided that they would tear it down. And
when it closed, you know, before it was torn down, was there any problem in the community? Did some people want to hang on to that building, or did they want to hang on to it as a school, I should say?
No. They didn't want to hang on. They didn't have as much opposition by Alvis Street School that did Douglas.
About getting rid of it, you mean?
About getting rid of Douglas.
And this is the black community you're speaking of, right?
Yeah. Now, they spoke out more about Douglas than they did Alvis Street School.
Was there a dispute about Douglas closing then?
Well, you see, there's a lot of people still wanted to keep Douglas open. The older people. Hey, younger people be different. They want to get where the action's at, you know, where football and bigger schools. But now you still had those old traditions, you know, people want to hang on to the school. They knew the time had come for it. But it's like anything else, that you have something for so long, you just don't want to part from it. And that's the way Douglas was. It was just part of the community. It's been that way for years and years. Douglas, in fact, let me tell you something about Alvis Street School, was the first, I don't remember this, but I read history on how Douglas come about. At the first Douglas High School, set on the corner of Alvasia and what they call Martin Luther King, now at that time it was Dixon Street, there was a old home place of Miss Orte Glasser and her family. They were pretty well off people, and they had a house looked like a mansion at that back during that time. And they moved out of that and sold that house, and that became Douglas's first high school. Well, they owned the land also down on the corner of Alvasia and Clay Street, which is where they built the new Douglas High School at. They sold that land and they built the new Douglas right there. And so that's how Douglas come about.
I see.
And they named it after Douglas.
I think you've already answered this question, but I want to give you an opportunity to clear it up. You know, how would you describe race relations in Henderson over your lifetime up till now?
Well, you still, for as a young kid right now, that's probably pretty good. But man, you still got them old heads here that, you know, they won't come out there and do something just blatantly, but they'll always do something subtle. You know, let you know, well, we'll put you in your place. You know, you always got that. You can see it in the media. You can see it in, even in the papers. You know, the way they cover stuff. Always gonna cover something negative, and they won't put it the same emphasis when something's done positive. You know, and you see that kind of stuff. You know. And Henderson is a town that 17,000 something population. It's a small town, but it only has about 2,000 blacks live in Henderson, see. And for us having any voting power, you got your politician over there, Bruce Governor, you know, no power.
Have any blacks served on the city commission here or the
yes.
county board?
Yeah. Yeah, we had city commissioner. Yeah.
All right. Well,
it's not a what you'll find here is subtle stuff. You know, man, it's not the blatant stuff. It's a little subtle.
Right.
You know, let you know in no uncertain terms. You know, unless you're plain dumb.
And would you would call this a small issue, wouldn't you? I mean, the subtle things you're talking about are probably not overwhelmingly frequent, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, well, I thank you, Mr. Banks.
All right.
Appreciate it.
All right.